coverage of Chiefs and Bills brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. 5:40 the kickoff on 106.5 The Wolf. On Sunday, I'll join Mitch Holtis and Ethan Hughes on the broadcast. Mitch will join us tomorrow, the voice of the Chiefs, at 7:30. Also coming up half hour from now, your chance to get registered to go see the game on Sunday. You got a 4-pack of tickets we're going to give away. Every 5 minutes, someone's going to get registered to win those tickets between 8:30 and 9. So be listening. Know the phone number, 913-576-7610. We're going to play a drop. Be caller 15. You're going to get registered to win a 4-pack of tickets to Sunday's game. So be listening between 8:30 and 9. You're going to have to be laser-focused at 8:30 if you want to win those tickets. The Chiefs seemingly are laser-focused. Everything's right in front of them. Again, all these steps that they had run it back since the ticker tape was coming down in Miami last year. Sights set on running it back. Well, it wasn't just our sights are set on getting back to the playoffs and seeing what happens. Their sights were set on running it back. So now we're in the midst of that. One mission accomplished last week, another one on tap. I like where their head's at. It's like we're not skipping any steps, but we expect to be on every step.
Right. Yeah. We expect to be there. We expect to win, and we expect to go out there and be back in the Super Bowl. And that's the way you have to view it. I mean, you've got to view it like you're going to go out there and win this football game. And I think that's the right mindset to be in, and they should be in that mindset. They are the best team in the NFL. There is nobody from top to bottom, 1 to 90. Is that what we're going with right now, roster size? There's no roster better, 1 to 90,
plus
than what
minus,
the Chiefs.
Yeah, exactly.
Wherever the numbers are today. But there's nobody better from top to bottom than this organization. There's no better coaching staff than what we have right now with this organization. And so when you have the best roster plus the best coaching staff in the NFL, you should be right where you are. You should be ready to go back to the Super Bowl. This should be the time you capitalize on this kind of stuff. And as you mentioned yesterday, there's no guarantees that this roster is this good ever again. You know, you could lose guys here, lose guys there. Maybe you don't build it back up to the level that it's at right now with all these superstar players, you know, that you have on it. So you need to take advantage of it. And I think there's a little bit of pressure on the Chiefs to get back there to that Super Bowl to make sure that they do capitalize on what's going on right now in Kansas City with this roster. And if they get back there again, they get back to the Super Bowl, hey, mission accomplished for this organization. Now, you get there, go win it.
Eric Fisher says Chiefs aren't taking their foot off the gas now.
I think we've been getting everybody's best shot for quite a while now. And I think it's, you know, sometimes it can be exhausting. I mean, like in the preparation, you know you cannot show up and have an off day. You know everyone's coming for you. Everybody wants the top dog. And, you know, I think we've been working our tails off to be in that spot, you know, so we're not letting off the gas. We're preparing the same. We've been preparing for many years now. And, you know, that's what Coach Reed expects of us. EB expects of us. We just, they're long seasons. I mean, going into week 19 here, you know, but we've had this goal in mind, and we've done everything we've needed to do so far. We just need to keep it going.
I like Eric Fisher's assessment, like, we're getting everybody's best shot, and at times it's exhausting.
Exhausting. That's one of the most telling comments that we've heard all year from anybody inside the Chiefs organization, because I don't think at times everybody truly understands how hard it is to do what the Chiefs did this year. How hard it is to do what the Chiefs did this year in a normal season on top of a COVID season, on top of, you know, every single day crossing your fingers that everybody's healthy and okay and can get out there and play. Like, what they have done this year is one of the most difficult things to do in sports under normal circumstances. To do it under these circumstances is extraordinary. And Eric Fisher's right, man. It's exhausting. You can't have an off day. You can't have an off week, because you're the Chiefs, right? Everybody's gunning for you. So every Monday that somebody sees Chiefs on their schedule, they're ramping it up to, you know, 110. They're going to 11, whatever the case may be. You have to be at 110. You have to be at 11. You have to be at a high number every single week. Sometimes when you're a team like, I don't know, the Raiders, you get up for the Chiefs, obviously, like they did, and they beat the Chiefs. Then the next couple of weeks, they fall back and they almost lose to the Jets, or they have a bad game here and they end up finishing 8-8. The Chiefs don't have the ability to have one of those games where they take a week off because their expectation is so high and everybody who plays them that week is playing them like it is their Super Bowl. And so when I heard Eric Fisher say that, I'm like, that's one of the most telling comments, one of the most important comments that we have taken away from this season, because it truly shows you how difficult and impressive it is what the Kansas City Chiefs have gone out and already accomplished this season.
By going 14-2 against all that.
Against all that.
I was about to ask, what is it that they've accomplished? Because I think that there are three other teams right now that are still alive in the hunt that have accomplished similar things.
But they weren't the hunted. It's completely different. They were not the hunted like the Chiefs were. They were not the team that was circled on their calendar. People weren't circling the Bills.
I have a real hard time like reconciling the two takes of the Chiefs are the hunted, which I agree. Like, everyone's trying to gun for the Super Bowl champs. Everybody wants to measure themselves by being able to beat a Super Bowl champion. But I have a hard time reconciling behind everybody's giving the Chiefs their best shot every week, and the Chiefs are sleepwalking through games on a weekly basis. Like, it just seems to me like there's a rift between the two takes, because quite honestly, I don't think both can be true.
Well, I think there are times where you I mean, how
like I think
you,
Eric Fisher said it. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. Yeah.
And I mean, Travis Kelce earlier in the season or a couple
last
weeks ago, you know, was talking about how, you know, it was patience was the hardest part of this entire season because,
right,
you know, we were geared up and ready to go into the postseason. I'm like, I don't understand how we could have, you know, on one side of this be like, you know, oh my goodness, look what the Chiefs have been able to accomplish and look what they've been able to do. And then on the other side, I'd be like, well, they've just been sleepwalking and not really caring through the season. Like,
I think sleepwalking is probably the wrong term. Turning it up when they needed to take it to the next level to get the win, I think, is something that they did. Like, I don't believe during the course of the regular season the Chiefs had to show everything to win a football game, or were willing to show everything to win a football game, like they are going to do in the postseason, like they are going to do Sunday, like they are going to do 2 weeks down in Tampa. I think there were games where the Chiefs and the coaching staff are like, just do enough to get a win in this game. Even though they're giving us their best shot, we're just going to do enough to get a win. We're not going to go out there and put up 40 points and light the scoreboard on fire if we don't have to do something like that. We just want to get wins and stack wins. So sleepwalking, maybe holding stuff back for the postseason so you're fresh and you're ready to go and it's stuff people haven't seen, I think that's the other point.
Fighting the inevitable, which is the...
Yeah,
we're just going, we are just going.
Got the Chargers in week two in front of no fans.
I'll be ready to dial this up.
Right,
when it's time to dial it up. I think that's a legitimate fight you had to probably go through with.
I mean,
each and every player all season long. As much as you want to say, oh, give it 100% every single outing.
Right.
I think maybe it's just me rolling my eyes at the homerism sometimes when it's like, oh, look at what the Chiefs have been able to accomplish this season, and there's several other teams that have accomplished nearly the same record that they have. I mean, we've got teams that have 13 wins and 11 wins in the postseason. Like, you're trying to tell me that when teams go in to face them, they're not getting their best shot as
no,
well?
No, it's different when you're the champs, man. It just is different. I mean, for years,
the Bills
Josh,
had
we
the
heard
pressure of five people like me who said, well, I don't know if they can do it again.
Right.
Okay, big deal. They don't care.
Right.
The Chiefs had plenty of, like, well, yeah, Super Bowl teams are hungover. You
right.
have no chance. I mean, there was a different type of pressure on them, too.
I mean, just go back to like what Bill Self would say all the time about how every single week, every single game, everybody was gunning from them, and they basically couldn't take a night off, and they have to do just enough to win, and why aren't they winning by 30? Well, you don't understand. People are giving these great efforts, and you're winning games, and that's what matters. Or go back to the Royals and how exhausted they were after, you know, 14-15 and playing that extra month of that season and the toll that took and how hard it's to repeat in sports. Like, getting back to this level consistently, that's why New England is looked at in this different aura, because for 20 years they figured it out and consistently got back there, and nobody's even come close to doing what they've been able to do for 20 years with Tom Brady. And now Tom Brady's back there again. Like, it's just extremely difficult to stay on top because you are getting everybody's best effort. And sometimes complacency sets in. We haven't seen the complacency set in yet with this team. If complacency's 8-8.
I think the others that have gotten there, I mean, it's no knock on any of them. Everybody's had to deal with COVID, which has been an absolute bear to navigate for each and every team in the entire league. And so, yeah, everybody's should have a sense of accomplishment. It's like reaching the Final Four a little bit.
Yeah, this year,
You kind of have that accomplishment. But I think the extra baggage the Chiefs had was just different. It was just championship baggage that others don't have to contend with. I mean, the Packers are under that microscope a little bit every single year, but there was plenty of talk about a lot of other teams in the NFC this year. It was like a wide open NFC for most of it. I don't know if they carried that weight. And maybe as the season went on, they did start to pick up a little bit more and more because Aaron Rodgers is having such a special year. So they may have carried that weight. The Bucs, I don't know, other than Brady, I don't know if anybody did. Like Brady, sure. Brady had a certain amount of pressure on him too because
probably self-inflicted pressure to do better than Belichick.
Yeah, better than Belichick, and Gronk was helping him out. Yeah. I just think the Chiefs did have to battle some different things, and being the defending champ who also had posted a run it back 2 seconds after they won the title.
Yeah.
The sports wagering crowd could certainly benefit from knowing if Mahomes is a full go. We check in with Radio.com sports betting expert Nick Costos next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
It is time to head to the Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling Hotline. We bring in Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet, and Radio.com sports betting expert, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Go check out all the latest lines today at betrivers.net. Nick, good morning.
Bob and Josh, what's going on? Happy Football Thursday to you guys ahead of Championship Sunday.
Yeah, big weekend, obviously. Some say the best weekend in the NFL, two of the best games, obviously the four best teams remaining. But I think the biggest question for you, and I've seen a lot of chatter about this, how is this line going to be affected with this Mahomes situation hanging over everybody's head?
All right, so I think the line, and we've been saying this all week on You Better You Bet, the line seems to indicate that Patrick Mahomes is likely to play in the game, and then we saw that yesterday. So Kansas City Chiefs fans, I think, it's a sigh of relief with the injury report yesterday. He's originally listed as a full participant, and then they changed it to limited, which to me seems to be semantics. I think Mahomes is likely to play. Took all the snaps in practice. The line is Kansas City -3, which is more of a Mahomes line, obviously, than a Chad Henne line. So if Patrick Mahomes is ruled the starter, let's say, I don't know, tomorrow on Friday, I think this number goes up to 3.5 or 4. So there's no way it stays at 3. So if you're feeling especially confident in Patrick Mahomes playing, there's risk associated with it. But you can bet the Chiefs now if you want to, and you can get Kansas City -3 with Mahomes likely to play. This total is also going to jump up a little bit, maybe a point or so to 55. I doubt it reaches 56, but it is my anticipation that the total will go up a little bit once it's officially announced that Mahomes will play. Now, in the event that Mahomes is not cleared and Mahomes does not start, I think this swings in a big way towards the Buffalo Bills, obviously. I've seen some people say maybe Bills -3. Yeah, sportsbooks can set whatever number they want, but the people that are actually betting the money are going to dictate where the number ends up. And I think this number ends up around 6, Bills -6. If it's Chad Henne starting. And I wouldn't bet the Chiefs, I'll tell you that, if it were Chad Henne starting at quarterback. So it'll go up a little bit when Mahomes is announced. And if for whatever reason Mahomes is out, Buffalo's going to be close to a touchdown favorite on the road.
Have you ever seen an individual player make that much of a difference on
almost,
a line?
Almost 10.
Almost 10-point swing for one player.
Yeah, I think when we talk about like the truly like elite quarterbacks in the National Football League, like we've seen stuff like this happen before, but like it's obviously rare to your point. It's not like Daniel Jones to Colt McCoy, right? Like starter to backup. Like it has to be like Aaron Rodgers to Tim Boyle, like Tom Brady to, you know, Jared Stidham or whomever one of his like not good backups were, or in this instance Mahomes to Chad Henne. So like we're talking like the very best of the best, and then a backup that's not great in Chad Henne. Let's be honest about it. Look, like Henne's okay, and I understand that he'll live forever in Chiefs folklore, right? Because of what he was able to do, the scramble, you know, winning the game, anything is possible. I totally get it. But like, let's be honest here. Like Matt Moore is a better quarterback than Chad Henne, and I'm not sure it's even debatable. So it's not like Henne's the worst backup in the NFL, but it's not like he's one of the better backups in the NFL in my estimation. And I'm not being a hater when I say that, and I know Chiefs fans love Henne right now. But be honest with yourselves, like Moore is better than Henne. Like the line would not be so dramatic if it were Moore and not Chad Henne.
In a situation like this, when you're looking at lines and placing bets, would you rather have it completely definitive, or can mystery be an advantage?
Well, it really just depends on what your risk tolerance level is with that particular situation. Like with this one right now, I think I kind of want to bet Buffalo, I think. I think the Chiefs will probably win the game, but I think it's going to be very close. So for me, it makes sense for me to wait, right? Because I want Mahomes to play so that I can get a little extra, like a half point or a point, obviously, the value with Buffalo. But we can go back to the game on Wild Card Weekend, right, guys, with the Rams and the Seahawks. Where the Rams all week, we didn't know if they were going to be John Wolford or Jared Goff. I bet the Rams +4.5, and I said early in that week, whether it's Wolford or Goff, I think the Rams are going to cover the spread. Now, I thought Goff was going to play, and I thought the number was going to come down. It ended up coming down anyway, which is interesting, close to 3, which tells you what people think about Goff as opposed to Wolford. Not much. And the Rams were able to win the game outright. So in that instance, I was able to, like, willing more to roll the dice. This one, not so much. So I really just think you take everything with on a case-by-case basis.
Talking with Nick Costos here on 610 Sports Radio, our gambling insider. And before the Chiefs kicked the thing off, obviously we got an NFC championship game. Aaron Rodgers versus, Tom Brady in this one. Aaron Rodgers, to me, has always been a guy that can't win the big one. I mean, does it change this weekend? Are you putting your money behind Aaron Rodgers or behind Tom Brady?
Well, to be fair, he did win the big one once, beating the Steelers, I believe, in Super Bowl 45. But you're absolutely right. Since then, you know, for a quarterback of his caliber to only make it to one Super Bowl is pretty startling. And yep. I think that kind of makes this such an unbelievable, like, if you're just a football fan, like a neutral, better also. But, I mean, this is as good as it gets. I mean, and it's like a referendum on, like, Rodgers' career almost, right, where you've got, you know, Brady, whom, like, Rodgers is probably, like, superior talent-wise to, but Brady's got all the rings, and it's like goat versus goat with Brady and Rodgers. It's pretty exceptional, so I can't wait for it. Right now, Packers are a 3.5-point favorite, total around 51. I do like the over in this game because I think we'll see Green Bay definitely score early, and I think the Packers will score in this game, but the Tampa's going to have to score in comeback mode. And I think here's an interesting way to play this game, and I do lean Tampa a little bit plus the 3.5. Not ready to give a definitive pick on that game yet. I'll do that on the show tomorrow and then the Sunday morning show as well. But something to keep in mind is Green Bay through the balance of the season has been great early on in games. Like, we've seen them in the first 15-play Matt LaFleur script race out to these leads, right? We've pretty much seen it over the course of the last 2 months. But invariably, they kind of like let their opponent back into the game, maybe not to lose, but to maybe make it a little closer than they would like. You know, the Carolina game sticks out on that Saturday, I believe. That was Week 16. Whereas conversely with Tampa Bay, we've seen this team continually, and this has been kind of a hallmark of Brady for a long time. The Bucs get off to slow starts. You know, they did it against Green Bay back in September when they were down 10-0 and then rattled off 38 straight. Think about the Atlanta game in Atlanta, down 17 at halftime, come back to win. The Kansas City game, they go down huge. The Saints game last week. So we've seen the Bucs do this numerous times this year. So I think it kind of makes sense to kind of handicap the game and say, all right, Green Bay's probably going to have a lot of success early in this game. They literally always do. Like, the offense is ruthless and hyper-efficient. They're going to score points early in this game. The Bucs are probably going to be more cautious early in the game and probably have to feel their way into it. And then when they're down by 7 to 10 points, they're going to have to put the pedal to the metal and get rolling here. So I think an interesting way to play this game, guys, would be Packers early, which would be like first quarter, first half, and then Bucs in the second half, or get a live line on Tampa where, like, you know, you believe in Tom Brady to be able to lead them back. Maybe not to win the game, but to cover a more inflated number. So I think that's one interesting avenue to play this game would be Packers early on and then bet the Bucs late live.
Should be a fun weekend. Nick, thanks for the time as always.
Appreciate it, guys. Wishing you and all the great listeners, Minimal Sweat 20 Bets, the absolute very best of luck. And can we please get Patrick Mahomes out there on Sunday. No one wants Henny, even though anything is possible.
Yes, we're with you on that. Nick Costos, our radio.com sports betting expert. You can check him out on the radio.com app, the host of You Better You Bet. And he joins us each and every week, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Go check out all the latest lines today at betrivers.net. It is interesting because, yeah, bet the Packers early because they're going to have the hot start. And then if you believe you believe in Tommy, you never shut the door on Tommy. Well, maybe he's a good second half bet to do. That's why I can't do it. That's why I often can't do it.
Why not?
I can't sweat it like that.
Right. It's tough, man. Like, God. I just get my stomach into not listening to Nick talk about, you know, putting money on this stuff. I'm like, no matter what I do, I feel like it's the wrong decision. It's not my cup of tea when it comes to gambling.
Well, what he says too. Well, it's your preference level. Yeah. I know. I want definitive answers. I don't want to guess, but I'm guessing like in a week like this where you can play the willy wony.
Yeah.
Maybe you can find some value there or get in at the right time on something early before it changes when it's more definitive.
Mm-hmm.
We think he's going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, we think Patrick Mahomes is going to play. His list is limited yesterday. They actually listed him as the full participant in practice yesterday and to go back and erase that and kind of change it, I believe, because he was in the protocol. But today's the Andy Reid says today's the big day. This is the full, a more full look at practice.
So he was a full participant in a limited practice.
Something like that.
Yeah. Sure. He didn't quite do it all.
Attaboy, Patty.
But he did it all, but took all the snaps. Yes, so however that shakes out. Our big story coming up, and we'll chat with Yahoo Sports Therese Paylor, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider. A lot to get to with him. Of course, the NFL weekend. He wrote a piece about Eric Bieniemy not getting a head coaching gig just yet. And we'll ask him, he's a Hall of Fame voter, if Philip Rivers is in or not. Next.
I believe in Josh.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Commercial free until 9 o'clock this half hour, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. All right, in addition to Therese Paylor, who's coming up, we got a lot of stuff to get to with Therese today. Every 5 minutes during this half hour, you're going to hear a drop.
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
And that's the first one. So go ahead, 913-576-7610. Caller 15 right now is going to get registered to win a four-pack of tickets to Sunday's playoff game. How about that? Every 5 minutes, someone's going to get a chance to get registered.
My God.
That's right. To go see the game on Sunday. So every 5 minutes between now and 9 o'clock, we're going to get people registered to win those tickets. So be listening for that drop, and we'll chat with Therese coming up in just a moment. Big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Will he or won't he? We think he will. Patrick Mahomes took all of the snaps, according to Andy Reid, yesterday, as the Chiefs were back to practice, listed initially as a full participant, then switched to limited, was Patrick Mahomes yesterday in practice.
Yeah, so he looked good. He's just he's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis, but today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps, and he feels good. So I mean, we're just gonna follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
So. All right. So today's practice, the most important, and it's longer, and they get an opportunity to evaluate a little bit more of those injured players. So listed as limited yesterday were Patrick Mahomes, still in the concussion protocol, mm-hmm. Rashad Breeland, still in the concussion protocol, and three players who did not play last week due to injury, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rashad Fenton, and Sammy Watkins. So we'll see as the week progresses if we get more and more activity from, really, I mean, those five. That's five pretty big names.
No doubt, man.
Five pretty big names.
Big names.
That you'd like to get healthy for the for the biggest game of the year.
Right. And, I've told, people around the country who've had me on this week as a guest to talk about this game and whoever will listen here. I'm more concerned about whether or not Breeland's going to play than I am whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I believe Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I think Breeland's the one you look at and go, man, that's your number one corner. And going against Stephon Diggs and John Brown and Josh Allen, I mean, that's a formidable offense right there. You want your defense to be to the level of greatness. And Breeland right now plays great. He's a great football player. I love watching that guy play.
Ultimately,
right?
it's you believe Mahomes is going to play.
Right. Yes, ultimately, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like,
quarterback,
I believe he's playing.
The quarterback, you can deal with with Breeland being out.
Yes.
The quarterback being out, that radically changes everything.
Correct.
But we have more confidence that the quarterback is going to play.
Right.
A little more unknown about
Rashad Breeland. Yeah. It's a big unknown. And that's why I say that. I'm more valuable than Mahomes. No, don't take things out of context that way.
No, just making sure we're clarifying
there. But because I believe Mahomes is going to play. So my concern level for him goes way down. My concern level for Breeland, I'm like, God, we got to get him out there, man. I want him to play on Sunday. If not, Frank Clark, go earn your paycheck, man. Because if the defensive line plays well, then it ain't going to matter who's back there playing defensive back. If the defensive line is getting to the quarterback, your high-priced guys are getting to the quarterback and impacting the quarterback, doesn't matter who's playing defensive back. Dick Vermeil told me back 2001, been living that credo ever since. Doesn't matter who we have back there. If we can't get to the quarterback, they're going to pick the defense apart.
It's funny. Every single game I go, well, this one's on the defensive line. I feel like I've done that like every single week. Another game. This is on the defensive line. Get after people. Make everybody's job easier.
Because we want them to go out there and make big plays, because we saw that a year ago in the postseason. How dominant was this defense when Frank Clark was swimming with the fishes out there and eating raw meat and destroying guys, man? It was awesome. And so if Breland doesn't play, I'm looking at Frank Clark and I'm saying, Frank, this one's on you. Go out there and affect the quarterback. Not you have to get a sack every time. Hit him, knock him down, bat a pass, hurry him, get in his face, disrupt the quarterback. And that's going to be on Frank Clark. That's going to be on Passanio. That's going to be on Jones. Anybody who's playing on that defensive line, go disrupt the quarterback if Breland's not playing.
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
There you go. Another opportunity. 913-576-7610. Getting people registered for 4-pack of tickets to go to Sunday's game. The caller number 15. When you hear that sounder, we're doing it every 5 minutes between now and 9 o'clock.
He's the man that created the All Juice team.
I watch a lot of football, guys. Every week, hours of it. I took notes on every game.
You can find his work over at Yahoo Sports.
The Chiefs are just a great football team, man.
And he joins us every Tuesday at 3:30 and Thursday at 8:30.
Watch him. He was unbelievable.
Here's 610 Sports Radio's NFL insider, Terez Paylor.
Indeed, Terez Paylor, Yahoo Sports, joins us on the Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling Hotline.
Good morning, Therese. And I want to start it off by asking you a simple question. Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, that's a great question, my man.
Thank you.
He's done.
It's been a while since
you've had
that. You haven't had any great questions in a while, Bob.
It's one of my favorite gimmicks. That is great.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Here's the deal, man. We were talking about this on my podcast yesterday. Philip Rivers' statistics are historically great, okay? I don't think that people fully have an understanding of how great his statistics are. 421 touchdown passes, that's the fifth most in NFL history. He trails Brady, Breeze, Manning, and Favre. That's it. Started 240 straight games, second longest streak in NFL history. And while he did just reach one NFL conference championship, Warren Moon made it to the Hall of Fame without reaching any. And well, I think at least as many. But there's a precedent for that. And Dan Fouts also got to the conference championship game. Both those guys are Hall of Famers. So, you know, I definitely think there's some. Yeah. I definitely think that, you know, there's a precedent in a lot of areas for him to get in. I'm not saying it'll be first ballot. I don't think that'll happen. But I think when you add that to the fact that he has inspired a tremendous amount of goodwill among reporters, and I think that matters subconsciously, you know. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get in, like I really do. And it might be the second or third or fourth or fifth try. I don't really know. It might be like Eli Manning in that way, but I do think he will get in.
Yeah, just I was just wondering with the grouping he's in. You mentioned those names. I mean, he's kind of in the same, you know, the same era as – Brady and Breeze and Manning, and like, yep. How tough would it be then to crack that with the lack of, as you mentioned, kind of the championship or the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think in a strange way though, like that's going to help him in a way. Like these guys were amazing, and you know those guys are all the best to ever do it. And I understand the Hall is for the best to ever do it, but you know, I'm serious, man. I just think that. We're going to look back at that era of basically of golden quarterback play and, you know, those other guys would be first on the list, but he'll be in that, you know, the second tier Mount Rushmore guys from that era at quarterback, just for how long he did it, the amount of fun he had playing. Very memorable throwing style too. Like I think people from this era will remember Philip Rivers. Like, I don't think anyone's going to deliver the football the way he did with that motion. He was just a memorable guy, a fun guy. His penchant for picks was maddening, you know. But, you know, all things considered, I think football was better for having Philip Rivers in it.
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
913-576-7610. Another chance to get registered to win playoff tickets for a Sunday, a 4-pack on the line. Caller number 15 right now. Okay, aside, Therese, from Mahomes not playing, and we're working under the belief that he'll be a go. What is the best chance for the Bills to knock off the Chiefs?
Yeah, so I'm operating under the same assumption, you know, just like you guys. And, you know, my belief is that here's how this has to go. Let's say Mahomes plays. And again, that's what we're all kind of assuming. I really feel like what Buffalo is going to have to do and what they're going to do is while we, you know, we've talked a lot the last several months about the importance of, hey, you know, you want to take death by a thousand paper cuts against this Chiefs team, right? Like, you want to just rush three or four. You want to drop people into coverage. And you want to blitz a few times, but generally Mahomes eats that up, you know? But I think if you're Buffalo, that would be the plan if Mahomes were healthy. And it may still end up being the plan, but I think if, since Mahomes won't be healthy, you know, we know that the toe is a thing. I bet you they come out in select situations very early and blitz him and find out what he can do. Can he move? Can he get out of the pocket? I think you blitz him from his left side, make him run to his right, you know, see if he can move on that toe and see if the mobility is the same. If it's not, you know, now you've got a chance to be creative with the blitzes if he can't really move the way he used to. You know, and if he can, it's like, all right, well, we probably have to drop into the safe stuff that we probably don't want to do, but we have to do. But that's the game plan defensively. I think that you do that, you know, you go in there trying to score points offensively, like none of this, you know, and I think Brian Daboll said that. None of the, you know, we got to control the ball. No. You got to score points. You got to score points versus Kansas City. If that means they got to throw 40 or 50 times, they'll do that. I actually don't think they'll have to throw 40 or 50 times. You know, I think they'll try to be more balanced this week because they can. But the path to these guys winning this game is rushing Mahomes, getting genuine pressure on him, him not really being able to move the way he normally does, and then, like, you know, breaking on the football, being disciplined that way, and offensively, you know, scheme it up. Like, try to throw against these guys, but also try to run, because they're the statistically, it's a better bet to run on the Chiefs defense than throw. So there's definitely a path for those guys to win the game. But I think it starts with figuring out, like, where Mahomes is physically, and then letting your game plan be dictated by that.
Talking with Terez Paylor, our Yahoo NFL insider here on 610 Sports Radio. And Terez, I think week six for the most part is meaningless, except for the fact that Frank Clark got pressure on the quarterback. With Breland's situation being where it is, how imperative is it for Frank Clark to be the playoff Frank Clark of a year ago?
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Thank you.
You know, I think No, it's good. I don't know. I feel like I'm a sucker for that joke, but I love it.
That's fine. That's why I do it, because you laugh and it's great.
It's the best. It's the best. You know, because, like, we should be saying, like, thank you when someone compliments. You know,
absolutely. We don't say thank you enough anymore, no, man.
It's just like, but I like that, though, because I feel like, you know, Frank is going to need to bring it this week. Chris Jones, like, these guys are going to have to bring it because Josh Allen is the truth. Like, this dude's really good. And I know, like, Chiefs fans, like, you know, our guys are true. And that's true. You guys know me. I was on Mahomes before anybody. But, like, I'm telling you, I was also on Josh Allen before anybody. Josh Allen's the truth. That dude can play. He's really great, and his teammates believe in him. So, I mean, this is a game that's good for football. And I think knowing the Chiefs' defense, some of their defenders, you know, Matthew, you know, Clark, Jones, these guys are going to bring it this week because they understand this is a spotlight game, all right? And this is the kind of game where Hall of Fame legacies get chiseled out a little bit, you know. You get to another Super Bowl, you can pretty much guarantee that multiple members of this team will make the Hall of Fame. And look, that's probably going to happen anyway. Like, Andy's getting in, right? I think Mahomes needs to do it for, like, a little longer. But, like, I mean, we at the stretch where if he puts together five great years, like, that's happening. It'll be the Gale Sayers shooting star thing. He'll get in with five great years. And what, he's 3 years in, so we just, what, two more? Kelsey's getting in, you know. Honey Badger, I think he's building his resume, but all decade really matters. I think he'll get in one day. You know, and I think Tyreek Hill is all decade too, so that matters. So, but my point is, two Super Bowls, even if you lose a Super Bowl, that's pretty back-to-back. It's like the Packers team from 96 to 97 that won the Super Bowl in 96, got back to it in 97, but lost to a great Denver team. And you know, I don't think we hold that against those Packers, that Packers team. Like, that was a great run they had. You understand what I'm saying?
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
Terez Paylor, Yahoo Sports. Bob already had Mahomes in the Hall of Fame, so he didn't need to wait for that five-year window. He already had Mahomes already placed in. You mentioned
Dan's fitting him for his jacket as we speak.
Yeah, that's probably true. You'd mentioned the job that the Chiefs did. Can you take anything from Week 6? I mean, they did a great job. I don't know if anybody has done as well against Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs as the Chiefs did. Can you replicate any of that, or is that too far in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, you know, I think you take some of it with you. I think you take some of it with you. You know, because whenever you play a team, even if it's in Week 1, you pick up stuff. And, yeah, teams are a little different. They are. They really are. But, you know, you can still pick up stuff. And, you know, if you win the game, your team gets some confidence from it. So, I think one of the lasting lessons is like, yeah, the Chiefs ran the ball about as well that night as they have all year. And if Mahomes is Mahomes, like, they're going to have to do that again. And, 161 yards rushing by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Chiefs finished with 245. That was the most they run for since Mahomes took over as a starter, right? So, I definitely feel like they know they can run the ball against these guys, or at least they were. I will say Buffalo's defense has gotten a lot better the last month and a half. These guys are tough. They're good, man. They are good. And I don't think it's going to be as easy to run, even though Buffalo might give them the run with light boxes again. So that'd be something to watch, especially if Mahomes proves himself to still be Mahomes early with the mobility. So it'll be fascinating. As far as Josh Allen, I know that's what you asked me about. I think one thing that's interesting, he'll probably play better this time because he was just kind of going through the, oh gosh, what do I do when teams play split safety, you know, cover four, and make me throw underneath all the time. He was just dealing with that. So he just started really seeing that against the Titans, because no one, like, teams were not doing that to him, because he was somebody teams believe they could beat, forcing a throw. But like the previous week against Tennessee, the Titans made him do that. The Chiefs made him do that a little. And, he has since then learned to take what the defense gives him. And you know that game plan worked last time, and you got to do some of it. But, you know, I also think what you got to do is pressure Josh, but pressure him with four. Like, the pressure has to get home with four against this guy, just like with Mahomes. Because just like Justin Herbert, you know, these guys that can move and do stuff, they're so special when you pressure them. They make you pay. It feels like a fool's errand sometimes to come after them.
Talk with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's go worst case scenario, Mahomes doesn't play. I think the Chiefs have one of the biggest X factors, and that's Andy Reid. There's not many coaches in this league that you have to say, okay, we got to prepare for the quarterback, and we've got to prepare for the offensive genius that is Andy Reid. So what kind of game plan can he scheme up if Mahomes doesn't play to go out there and win?
Yeah, it'd have to be one of his fine and play calling games. Buffalo's defense is playing really, really well, and my hunch is, okay, if Mahomes doesn't play, you might start seeing the extra guy in the box. Like, they're not gonna let him run. They're gonna make Chad Henne, like, they're not gonna let him run, and they're probably gonna take away the Tyreek Hill deep ball with the shaded safety. And now, like, Kelsey will probably eat, you know, but what it'll be actually be on, you know, the other receivers to take care of business. Like, they'll get one-on-one single coverage. And then when you get to the red zone, Kelsey will get doubled. I think the Chiefs will still move the ball, but I think it's going to get harder to score in the red zone without pass creativity, especially with a player like, don't forget, Tre'Davious White. White is special. They might decide to do the Deion game plan with him, where it's you double hill with two guys, then you put Trey on the other receiver, or Kels. And that's tough. You know, that's tough without a Mahomes, without Mahomes. So, I think that's what they would probably do. I think points would be harder to come by, and I think the defense would have to generally win like a 17-14 game, or a 24-20 game, or 20-17 game, or something like that, which they haven't had to do a lot of over the last, gosh, 3-4 years.
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
913-576-7610. Be caller for number 15 right now and get a chance to get registered to go to the game on Sunday with a 4-pack of tickets. We've got two more chances after this one, right?
That's correct.
That's right. I'm doing my math right. I can multiples of five, not quite my strength. Therese, I love how you almost said walk and then you stopped because we're like firmly in that camp. Like whoever that extra wide receiver out, it's so frustrating. I don't even want to go there. All right, to the NFC side of things, where do you see that NFC championship game? I wish personally I would have more time to consume it. I might not be able to catch most of it myself.
You can be busy
immersed in the Chiefs, but
Mitch, have you getting water for him?
That's
at that
right.
Point
yeah,
of the
I gotta fetch Mitch's stuff then and shine date and shoes. Yes, but Bucks and Packers looks to be tremendous.
Sure does, doesn't it? Rodgers, Brady, you gotta love that. You know that's football, 100%. Interesting game in the sense that it's gonna be cold, but both these quarterbacks have been good in the cold. I think the Bucks have a little bit of like nobody believes in us in them. Did you know they only had one player make the Pro Bowl this year? And it wasn't even Tom Brady or anybody from that offense. It's just Jason Pierre-Paul. Like nobody from that offense made the Pro Bowl. And like we know that Tom Brady's like a note taker. So I feel like that's something that we would definitely hear if they win this game coming out of that locker room. I mean, they were 11-5. Meanwhile, the Packers had like 7. So I think we all recognize that's kind of crazy, right? Somebody from the office should have made it, probably a couple guys. And I think they'll come in here with a little bit of motivation, feeling they're not being respected because that's the Tom Brady war chant, right? Like that's what he uses. Now, I don't know if that's going to be enough because Green Bay's offense is actually historically great. Like they have, I think the second highest – like this year, they've got the second highest percentage of drives that's ended in a touchdown in the last 20 years. And they're sandwiched by the 07 Patriots and the 2018 Chiefs. So, obviously, man, the Packers offense is historically great. And, you know, you watch them play and it holds up. But I do think this is key. They don't have David Bakhtiari, the left tackle. You know, I think it's going to be very important for the Packers to get ahead. You know, be able to play with the lead because if they have to get into passing situations, even though the O-line held up okay without him, they're obviously weaker without that guy. And, you know, their whole offense does work off the marriage of the run pass, like so many good offenses in today's game. You know, their whole offense works off that. And, you know, if you get those guys down, then the run stuff becomes less threatening. And now you can kind of key in on the pass a little bit. And one last thing to keep an eye on, really interesting matchup looming between Devontae Adams, who's having the best season of his career, or at least very close, versus Carlton Davis, who held him to 2 catches the last time those two met. And Davis is a great corner, or at least really, really good. So, and that's more than you probably asked for, but this is a great game. And I love conference championship games. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the last, like, weekend where the games are in like a host, like they're in like a city, you know what I mean? Like they're true home games. And it's like, in a lot of ways, it's a really great environment. So, you know, I've done a lot of research on these because I'm really excited for both these games. And I can't wait to dive into not just watching them, but like to study them for the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, man. It's going to be great.
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
913-576-7610. Another opportunity to get registered to win playoff tickets for Sunday. We've kept you a long time today. I apologize for that, Therese, but wanted to get to your article as well that's up right now at Yahoo Sports. I feel like the headline is exactly where I'm at. Eric Bieniemy still isn't an NFL head coach, and every excuse why falls flat. It is utterly baffling. I'm getting asked across the country. You're getting asked across, like, why isn't he a head coach? And I wish I had the answers because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I typically hear about, you know, 3 reasons, right? And or at least people positing 3 possibilities. You know, the first is the play calling. I think we've debunked that though, right? Like
Who cares about that, man? I mean, my God. It's the same.
It's like, the same as it was under Nagy and Peterson.
Yeah, if you're looking for a guy who calls plays, then you're looking for you're doing it wrong as an owner of an NFL team, you know?
The greatest example was Andy Reid. Andy Reid never called a play till he got the job in Philly, right?
Right.
And Eric's been spending the last 3 years like learning from Andy, picking his brain. You know, I wrote this right before the Super Bowl last year. You know, like the Friday night before every game, Andy sends him like pictures of like plays that he's interested in running. And they get excited like to see those because it's like, okay, these are going to be, you know, he sends them pictures of the play calls that he's thinking, you know. And, I mean, that's 16, 17, 18 games for three times now. Like, that Eric has been doing that. But, all right, I'll try to make this quick, though. Like, normally it's the play call, and I think we know it doesn't matter. The only difference is Bienemy has never – like been the primary play caller for a few games, like Peterson and Nagy were. But the only reason Peterson and Nagy were because the offense was struggling so bad for like a month each time that they had to switch something up. But it's not Eric's fault that they have Mahomes and the offense is purring. Like the Chiefs offense has finished in terms of DVOA higher the last 3 years than it did at any point in Andy Reid's first 7 years, first 5 years. Okay. So like, hey, that shouldn't hurt him. All right. The second thing is, hey, is it his past? Well, listen, he's had some arrests. Many of them happened 3 decades ago. I'm not minimizing anything, but like most people make mistakes in their 20s, and that doesn't keep other people from getting hired for things. Right. So, based on what we know publicly, like that falls flat too, man. And I'm with you guys on that. It feels like, you know, it's either that or it's the, you know, the past arrest or the play call. There's a lot, man. It's just always something. And it's definitely frustrating, man. And here's what I do know though, guys. Then they say, hey, he does the interview well. Like, guys, have you heard him talk?
Yeah, yes.
He interviews. Yeah. Like I know that, you know, the interviews, like, he's not just, like, giving you gems and stuff. But, like, A, he's really improved his delivery. Like, I think he's really gotten better as, like, the face on the podium. And second, if you ask the players how he is when he delivers messages, it comes through loud and clear. And he can kick your butt if you need it and you not hate him. How many coaches can do that? So I know it sounds like I'm, you know, his agent, but I mean, it's crazy to me, unless there's something that we don't know, but I'm with you guys. I think he'll do a great job when he gets an opportunity. I think he'll be motivated to do a great job, but I do know this, and this is the best thing about him. He's not worried about anything right now, but doing the best job and the job he has. And as long as he is going to have to do that, because he won't be a head coach for whenever that happens, as long as he's going to be in this job, he is going to kill it. And the next team that takes a chance on him will reap the benefits when they take that chance.
Therese, enjoy conference championship weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Can I ask you guys a quick question?
Sure.
Sure.
How many times have you heard that Mitch Holtis, Chiefs of... are going to the AFC championship game clip.
Today marks 14 times. We did 7 yesterday and be 7 today.
Yep.
It doesn't get old.
Can't wait to hear the next one coming up on Monday. So.
All right. All right. See you guys.
Take care, Therese. Enjoy the weekend, my man. So there it is. Therese Paylor with us here on 610 Sports Radio. A lot to sift through with Therese. A lot of great information today. A lot of chatter about the Chiefs and what we think is going to happen in the game. And clearly his piece on Eric Bieniemy, you can go check out at Yahoo Sports.
I would have kept him a little longer than usual. There was so much going on. He's a Hall of Fame voter, so we want to get the Philip Rivers aspect of it. Obviously the conference championship games. And then, the Bieniemy thing.
It's a meaty segment with Therese.
All the excuse making going on. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, what's the real reason you're not hiring the guy? I don't get it. Hey, a little under the radar. Yesterday by the Royals, Wade Davis is back. Did you catch this? Royals are bringing back Wade Davis.
Was this in the news?
And I'm like,
got the biggest out of the Royals for the last 5 years.
I'm like, all right. I'm not, you know, counting on anything necessarily. Minor league contract, like zero harm. He's 35 now, pitched in Colorado last 3 years, just 5 games last year, dealt with some injuries and gave up, a lot of runs. And just
five games last year is half a season.
Right. He gave up a lot of runs, so he didn't pitch particularly well and was not brought back with the Rockies. But I'm like, that's cool. Called Herrera as a free agent. And
let's go.
Minor league deal. Coax Hoach out of retirement. Just do this.
Now, I don't think Hoach has any interest in coming out of retirement.
Of the one that's like, no, like he just like vanished. He like went.
Well, he's Ned-esque.
He went Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Like just. Done.
Well, we found him last year. We got a hold of him.
We found him, but I mean, there was like, it was not trying to, there was never any, I'm going to continue to play baseball.
No,
like,
he was just gone.
He was, when it was done, it was done.
Yeah. It was, so. A lot of people can't do that. You're right. That was Johnny Carson-esque. See you later. I'm going to Colorado and I'm going hunting with Ned.
Congratulations to Karen, Linda, Derek, Colton, Josh, and Gayla. They all got registered to win a four-pack of tickets this hour. And, oh, by the way,
Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game.
Your final opportunity right there. 913-576-7610. One more opportunity to register to win tickets to Sunday's playoff game. Don't send us screenshots how many times you call. There's a huge demand.
Yes.
Huge demand. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. There was good news in the practice report, but maybe they were doing it wrong. Next.
Thanks, gentlemen. And gentle ladies.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.